Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Edward Giro, who plays Justice Antonin Scalia in The Originalist, a new play at Arena Stage. Thanks for joining us on WTOP.
Great to be with you again, Jason.
Or, thanks for joining us again on WTOP.
Yeah, it's great.
So if you guys, you might remember a couple months back, Edward plays Ebenezer Scrooge, the last 6 years, I think, at Ford's Theater every Christmas. And so this is quite a different role because you've gone from playing, you know, a fictional character like Scrooge to now, you know, a real-life figure. How's it different playing someone from fiction versus a real person?
Well, of course, there's so much material on the record to draw from with Justice Scalia. Video, audio pieces, biographies, and so forth. So that's where the background came from. But they're similar in that we have to tell the story that's in the play. There's the character in the play, which is different, perhaps a little bit from the actual person. But there's more material on the record as opposed to imagination, I would say.
How does it affect your preparation? How much did you actually study the man versus just the play?
Well, I had about a year to prepare, so I did a lot of reading. I read Joan Biskupic's biography called American Original. I read the Federalist Papers. I went to the court 4 or 5 times.
So you did your homework.
Oh yeah, and actually got a chance to spend some time with the justice as well.
Oh really? Yeah. What was that like?
Oh, it was terrific.
How do you reach out to him and say, "Hey, I'm going to play
well,
you"?
Well, there was a mutual colleague that actually put us together, and it was a great opportunity just to spend some time and get to know each other. We didn't talk about the play. We didn't talk about politics. We just talked about things that are in common. You know, Italian American, Roman Catholic, New Jersey. That we share. We found out our families are actually from similar areas in Italy, so it was a really good time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Was this just over coffee, or how do you, like...
It was at lunch, actually, in Chambers. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great.
That's cool. How often did you guys meet? Just once, or multiple times?
Well, I saw arguments maybe 4 or 5 times, and we met twice.
Okay. Did he have any... you know, what does he feel about someone playing him? I mean, did he have reservations, or was he more excited about it?
The lunch was really kind of off the record. It was just a chance to know each other. So it was
Well, that's nice that you actually got to, you know, meet the person.
Oh, it was fantastic. He was very generous and witty and charming and hospitable and all the things that he set me at ease. So that was really terrific.
Do you think that it boosted getting to meet him and watch the arguments? Sculpted the performance at all?
Oh, there's no question. Getting to watch his behavior, getting to watch how the court works. The sense of, and it's really about what happens in the play, which is about finding the middle ground in political discourse. To be in the courtroom, to get a real sense of the acute sense of listening that happens in the courtroom. You could have different points of view, different arguments, but it's always argued with respect for the individual. So no one's being painted as a bad person having a particular point of view because you can vote. So you have a very well thought out, well reasoned debate or dialectic, which is something that the play really deals with. That is to say, finding a way to talk to each other and or argue, but listen at the same time. And that's something that we don't do perhaps as much as we should in our political discourse these days.
Yeah, I think that's something this town could learn a lot from, is the importance of listening. Everybody comes at something, at every issue, with, you know, their own preconceived, you know, thoughts on it based on where you were raised or any number of factors.
Exactly.
But the listening to the other...
Exactly. And I think that's the important thing, that what Molly Smith is doing at the Arena Stage to...
This is the director?
This is the director. She's also the artistic director of the theater. And the theater is really committed to developing new American works. She's really blazing the trail. This is a real risk to do a play about a sitting Supreme Court justice, but it puts the artist front and center in the conversation, and that's something that isn't done, but or as much as it should perhaps. But Molly is really blazing the trail in that regard, which is, in my view, it's really clarifying what the identity of Washington Theater is about. We have access to these people. I get to go see the justice, but that's something you can't do anywhere else in the United States.
Exactly.
And it's a really important thing that Arena Stage is doing, that Molly's doing. It's part of her vision, and she, you know, she took the risk to do this play.
Talk about the importance of that. I mean, if you're an actor in Los Angeles, you're not going to pay to, I mean, maybe you'd fly out here once to watch an argument, but you probably wouldn't come multiple times like you were able to do as a local actor. So talk about the importance of being here for you in order
to
play
this?
Well,
as an artist, I think, as I said, you know, to me, Washington is, in a way, the Athens of the modern world. It's a place where artists can come and actually speak directly to the people who run our government. There are neighbors, there are audience members, and we're part of the same community, and we have a certain kind of access. It's extremely important, I think, as artist citizens, to be able to talk about how we operate as a government. Is something that not only Washington artists should do, but artists from around the country, artists from around the world should be coming to Washington, because we can offer that. You can't do that in New York. You can't do it in Chicago. You can't do it in L.A. You can only do it here. And I think that's what the future of Washington is. And Molly's forming that. She's making that happen. Yes, you can do it with other kinds of plays, but to speak directly about the political process, American theater history, that's what's happening.
I love that notion. DC is the modern day Athens. That's brilliant. Talk about the play itself, because we talked about Molly, the director. But when was this thing actually written, and you know, when did the play come together?
Well, John Strand wrote the play. He's also a Washington artist. He's been in the community for many, many years, decades. I worked with him about 10 years ago.
What'd you work with him on?
We did a play called The Diaries at Signature Theater about 10 years ago, and he's. Terrific playwright, and he's written this beautiful play. I guess it was about maybe 18 months, 2 years ago. He wrote it, as he said, with me in mind, and that was part of the pitch to Molly. Yeah, having worked together, we had a sense. I've been doing sort of I've done all three branches of government. I played Richard Nixon on House of Cards. I was the Republican Senate Whip, and now I'm in the judiciary. So when John had this idea, I guess maybe it was the fact that we look alike a little bit. He brought it to Molly and said, "I have this idea to do this play," and she said, "This is great." And he said, "I'd like to have Ed do it." So it was in workshop for about a year in development. It started out as a 2-act play. It's now a 1-act play. And John's been working very diligently, has done an enormous amount of research, talked to some of his clerks, Scalia's clerks, who are want to remain anonymous, but they were of a political persuasion that was not the justices.
Right.
So that's the premise of the play, that we have these two people who are from the far extremes, you can argue, from the far extremes of the political spectrum, and they're finding a way to listen, argue passionately, and perhaps find some way to find common ground and move forward.
Gotcha. We don't want you to give away anything about the plot, because we want people to go to Arena Stage and see the play.
Oh, yeah, we do.
but just generally, because he's been serving for a long time as justice.
Yeah, he's coming up on 30 years.
Right. So without giving away, you know, in specific plot points, but what are some of the... issues, you know, political issues that are covered in the play?
Well, it's really a story of the relationship between this new clerk who is of the opposite political persuasion, and they discuss certain cases. Doma's in the center of the story.
Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah, exactly right. And of course, that's coming up. What's really interesting, it's right in the zeitgeist of what's happening in the political right now, because we're going to hear the arguments at the end of April.
And in House of Cards, which you mentioned,
right,
in this season.
So the play really is about their relationship and how they probe each other and push each other. And it's sort of a mentor-student, father-daughter. It's not just the political issues, it's also the personal issues as well.
Anything other than Doma, or is that the central?
That's the central piece. I mean, they talk about several other cases. They'll talk about Roe v. Wade. Of course,
abortion rights,
Heller, District of Columbia, Heller, which is gun control. Mm-hmm. So the big hot button issues come up as a way to put into a conversation what the two points of view are. So we see each side battling it out.
So you think this play is at least from your description so far, pretty fair in its portrait. You know, you hear arguments from both sides
and let the audience
leave Arena Stage.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the play, and I think that John's intention was to do a fair rendering of both sides, but to really raise the question about what is it about Americans that tend to demonize people from whatever political persuasion, if they don't hold the view that they hold.
Right. And happens all the time.
All the time.
Both sides.
Yeah, I mean, it's a food fight. And perhaps we may have to adjust or our own point of view. I mean, you know, when I walk out on stage, the opening scene is sort of a lecture, and you can feel the waves of tension.
Right. From the people in the audience. The,
well, absolutely, because it's direct address.
And we're here in D.C., and you know your audience is mixed.
Exactly.
With, yeah.
Well, sure, well, at the theater, yeah. as you could say, you know, it's maybe
sure.
left-leaning. So there's a real reticence on the audience to sort of listen and want to be there. And they don't get his irony. But by the end of the play, they really get a sense of right. his irony and maybe, hopefully, a sense of who he is as a human being.
When you're out there delivering that those opening lines, do you say you feel that tension? Is there
oh, they're groans.
How do you kind of cut through it? Do you feel like I know what I'm going to say next?
Well, there's a little bit of that, but after we've had five performances now, so I'm sort of getting my sea legs. But there's it's like the State of the Union, right? You can tell what side of the aisle people are on, but even with with Scalia, it's like a Rorschach test. You
right.
know, when I say I'm playing Scalia, I know immediately what side of the political spectrum people are from, the way they respond. Mm-hmm. So he presses a lot of buttons. At least the perception of who he is presses a lot of buttons. And I think John is trying to move beyond that sort of media cast view of him.
Right, right. In terms of the character you play in the play, because I know it's based on this guy, but I'm sure it's not exactly him. I mean, it's an interpretation of him.
Sure, it's fictive. It's not a biopic, right?
Exactly. Bioplay.
That's right.
So if the person you play, the character, your character, I think the best characters always have big strengths and also, a couple weaknesses or a little flaw. Like the
sure.
character you play, what would be his biggest strength and biggest weakness?
Well, his strength is his fluency of the language and his knowledge of the issues and his ability to construct an argument with thinking on his feet. And very incisive. His flaws, maybe he's a little bit too sure of himself. Maybe there's a little bit of arrogance, people might say.
The old hubris.
Well, there's a little bit. I mean, although, it's hard to say. I mean,
right.
I have to love the guy, and I do love the character. But he is arrogant. I mean, he's self-possessed. There's no question about it,
right.
you know.
Like many of the great characters we've ever seen in stage
right,
and screen.
Right.
I mean, that hubris, you almost need it to make a, well, you don't need it to make a good character, but a lot of the great leading roles
right,
have that.
Right.
So, where is it set? Is it mostly, is it on the bench or is it?
It's in chambers.
It's
okay. in chambers.
Okay.
And the setup is that whatever you discuss in chambers stays in chambers. So that allows for a certain freedom of the debate. I think people might wonder, does that really happen in with a clerk and with a justice? Who knows? I think it can get pretty heated. Certainly a lively debate. So it happens in chambers. There is one scene where he's handing down his dissent from the bench and law library and so forth and so on. But it's in and around the court.
Gotcha. And which, I know Arena Stage has several theaters. Which theater, is it the round one? Is it?
Yeah, it's the Kogod Cradle, and
okay.
that's the new part of the building that's been created to give birth to new plays. So this being a new play, that's part of the new play series. It's Arena's commitment and Molly's commitment to creating new American work.
Is that why they call it the Cradle?
That's exactly why they call it the Cradle.
Well, it's not a coincidence. It's perfect. You mentioned House of Cards.
I was in season two.
Season two, okay.
I'm coming up to be on Turn in season two of Turn, and I'm playing the Prime Minister of England, of all things. So I get these.
You're all over the place.
I'm running the governments of the entire world.
Yeah, so you're pretty much the most powerful man in the world that no one knows you're the most powerful man.
That's right.
In the world,
I'm not a real politician. I just play one on the stage and TV. Right.
Describe working on season two of House of Cards. Do you keep up with the show? Or you...
Oh, yeah. I haven't. Well, I've been a little busy putting this play together, so I haven't had a chance
Jason,
to get through.
I've been busy.
but I can't wait to have a little bit of time to catch up on season three. Season two was a lot of fun. I was in a scene that took place actually in the Senate. One of the three Republicans that were carried back into the chambers, and there was a maneuver, constitutional maneuver, to close a vote and so forth. It was a lot
right.
of fun. And
how'd you get cast? How does that whole process?
Well, there's a casting director in the area in Baltimore. Went up to be seen. Put my piece on tape, and they said, get this guy to be the Republican Senate whip. I said, I'm all for it.
Did you get to work with Spacey?
I did. Yeah. A couple scenes with Spacey, and he's terrific. You know, he's a great, fine actor and a stage actor, a Juilliard-trained actor. Just came off the tour of Richard III around the world, but very smart.
I interviewed him when he came to town about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because he's not only playing the role, but he's also producing. So by the end of the day, as we got closer to 5 o'clock and we had to get, you could see the producer hat come out and say, let's go. Yeah. Very smart guy.
Well, that's just great that you've been able to, be involved in so many things around town and politically themed shows, too.
No, it's exciting. It's I've been in Washington for 31 years, and as I said, these people are neighbors, and I've always been sort of a political wonk since Watergate days, even before that, with the moratorium and so forth, and it was a boy stater, and so forth. So there was a time when I thought maybe politics was something that I wanted to do, but now I just get to dabble and pretend like I'm an expert, which is kind of fun, and meet the people who really do it, and I have an enormous amount of respect for the commitment that they've made to the country. It's extraordinary.
Well, yeah, and being a guy who returns to Ford's Theater every winter, the intersection, we don't even need to say with, Lincoln going
exactly.
there.
I think exactly.
Politics and theater have intersected so many times throughout our history, and it's great that you're able to continue that.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks. I'm grateful for it. Really.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jason.
That's Edward Giro in the new play, The Originalist, at Arena Stage here on WTOP.